You're listening to Sideshow Network. Check out all of our shows at SideshowNetwork.tv.
So, well,
if you're, sorry.
You can finish singing.
I was singing and watching the Gilmore Girls. Having a hard day.
Okay. Anyways, welcome to another edition of Worst Collection Ever. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And welcome to our program where we go through our fine collection of comics that are worth absolutely nothing, but we're purchasing them and buying them because they're entertaining and we want to read them and we are sharing it with you.
Yes. You, the listener.
Listener. And once again, this show is, all as always, brought to you by Comics on Comics, where the greatest comic minds meet the greatest minds of comics, as well as Sideshow Network. So thank you for joining us.
Yes.
If you're listening to any of those places. All right. So the first book we're checking out this week is an issue of The Flash.
Oh, yeah. First time on the podcast.
Yeah, finally we got to a Flash comic. Which I find to be, see, here's the Flash. I'll just be honest. The TV show, because the Flash TV show,
yeah,
the current one is great.
Yes, it is.
I like it a lot.
Yes.
And they make the Flash infinitely more interesting
than he is here.
Than he really is. And
well, at least that he is in this issue.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's one of the Flash has always been one of those books where it's like, you know, or those characters where it's like I'll see something of him in. You'll see something with him in it, and I'll just be like, eh.
Meh.
You know, I'd be like, meh. Like, I like him when he's on teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I dig him when he's, like, you know, Justice League or wherever he's hanging out, you know. And I like Wally.
Well, yeah.
Wally's, you know, the one that I like the best, I think.
Yes.
Barry's okay. But, yeah, I don't know. I've never, you know, been compelled to want to actually read a bunch of Flash comics.
Right.
But I figured, you know, this one in particular from July 2002.
Oh, more recent.
Flash number 186. Yeah, this book went on for like 200 issues, this volume of it. So it's Flash, technically it's Flash volume 2?
Sure.
Yeah, Flash volume 2, because it's not the, yeah, so it's the one that started in 1989. Yeah, so this one is from 2002, July 2002, Flash number 186, Thought Crime.
Yep. Written by Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns, because
he loves The Flash.
He loves The Flash, and this is a weird cover.
Weird.
Well, I picked this up specifically for the cover.
Well, it's basically, it's The Flash as the thinker, you know, the statue of the thinker, with all these, like, wires coming out of his head, and that they're going to try to get into his rogues' heads. Like,
yeah, the rogues are in the background. They're like, oh!
Like, no! Not me!
And this is actually a part of, like, a bigger crossover of sorts.
Yes, where there's some guy named The Thinker.
Well, this is when he shows, The Thinker shows up, but this is actually, like, a bigger part.
Right.
To do with, like, blacksmith. Because I was reading up on this. It has to do with blacksmith and her new rogues.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. And it's just
her, like, underground market or whatever.
Yeah, her underground market of shit. And it's just like, whatever.
But anyway, so, like, The Thinker is, he's, like, hijacked Flash's mind. Because since The Flash is fast, he figures that his brain thinks faster. And that therefore he can kind of use it like a super drive on a computer. So he's trying to, if I understand this correctly, like, hijack everyone's brain.
Sure.
In the city, but I'm not exactly sure why he wants them.
Well, just the way that, because when I read this up on the DC Wiki, it's basically, it just says he's doing this to upload information really fast. I'm like, well, what information?
To where?
To where? To why? What?
For what purpose? Does not say?
I don't know.
Alright, so he wants to upload information, let's say, to the cloud? Maybe he's got a lot of photos.
Maybe.
Maybe he went to a con, he took a lot of photos of cosplay, and he wants to upload them onto the cloud.
He's got a lot of songs.
Yeah, he's got an awful lot of stuff. He's torrented a lot of movies.
He's got like pretty much like
he's just pretty much torrented all of Game of Thrones that came out illegally.
So he's got season 5 like right now,
and he's trying to get it off his phone.
Did you torrent the entire season on your phone?
You could torrent to anywhere, but I think it's only half the season.
Well, I mean, regardless, I mean, that's like, why would you want to watch it on your phone? I never quite understood
that's
that.
That's not my thing. I like bigger screens.
I like screens where I can watch TV shows. No, I mean, it just makes sense. I just don't understand.
I don't know. I see young, hip kids doing it all the time, but I am not young nor hip.
Well, just like the idea that you can watch the movie, like, Gravity.
Oh, why would you want to watch that on your phone?
You can watch it on your phone. It's just like, but it's like, that's like a spite watch. Like, you're like, I have to watch this, and I guess I'm just going to sit here and watch it on my phone.
Yeah, that's...
I'm not even going to listen to it. I'm just going to watch
it. That's just completely pointless to even bother.
Of course.
With. That'd be like watching Interstellar on your phone. You'd just be like, okay, I guess this would look cool if it was bigger.
You know, it wasn't that good because I couldn't really see everything. I'm like, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah, because you watch it on your fucking phone.
So, anyway. Actually, I thought I'd make a comment. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but this book feels very like... Like, it feels like it's got an Instagram filter on it.
Oh, it does. No, you're absolutely right. I was wondering about the color.
Am I the only one that feels this way?
No, I was really wondering about the color, too, because everything's very muted.
Well, it's very muted, but it's just very...
It's blue, and then blue, and brown.
It's white. It just feels very, like, light.
Yeah, the colors are strange in this one. And I have to say, because... Here's my thing. I go back and forth with Geoff Johns' work. Some of it, it's not bad here. Sometimes, though, especially when he gets a ton of characters, because he likes to split them up and put them in different places and have people doing different things. So what he'll do is he'll jump back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, almost to the point where you're like, can we just, like, slow down for, like, 5 minutes and, like, spend time on one?
No.
But he doesn't, it's actually not as bad here. Some of, like, the Justice League shit and some of, like, the Blackest Night stuff. You're like, dude, calm down. This is, like, bad. Here, and here, and here, and here. And then you're over here. And then you're with this team. And you're like, okay, how about we just calm the fuck down and, like, spend more than one page on them?
Jeff, spend at least one page.
Like, he's like, 4 panels, that's it. Okay, next, back to that team. Okay, back to that team.
Because he loves characters and he loves...
I know, but he needs to calm the fuck down.
He likes DC. He loves DC so much. He's like, I can do everything.
Do all the things. I'm like, dude, you got like a whole arc. You don't have to do it right now. It's cool. But anyway, so like...
So the rogues are all...
They're here, but there are a bunch of rogues I've never seen before.
Well, these are the new rogues. See, these are the ones that Blacksmith put together. So there's Girder.
Can we talk about how Blacksmith looks like she's just got one fuck of a camel toe in this picture?
Is that... Weird skin. Oh, that's a weird outfit.
Yeah, it's like she's got a really long crotch. Because, like, here's her waist, and then, like, her crotch is, like, all the way down here. But then it's, like, a camel toe. And, like, her thighs have no covering, but she's wearing, like, chaps. I don't know. It's a very weird outfit.
It's not a good outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so she's there.
Lady Camel Toe.
Lady Camel Toe, Magenta...
It's a terrible name. Mirror Master.
Magneta. Sorry.
Magneta.
Magenta.
I thought it was Magenta too, but it's Magneta. Right.
Well, there's no N. It's Magenta. But she should be Magneta.
There's an N.
It's spelled M-A-G-E-N-T-A. That's Magenta.
Okay.
If it was Magneta, it would be M-A-G-N-E-N-T-A.
No, you're right. Maybe they meant to spell it that way because her power is literally magnets. Magnetism.
Magnets.
So, yeah. Anyway, Murmur. So, I don't know who the fuck Murmur is.
Murmur, he's what he's saying. He's a new creation.
Because there's Mirror Master and Weather Wizard, who we know.
Mirror Master, Weather Wizard.
There's Girder.
Girder's actually been introduced in the TV show.
Oh, that's right.
He's the bro.
Yeah.
He's the bro. He was the bro.
He was the bro.
Wait,
is he
dead? He's dead now, isn't he?
He might be dead.
Yeah, because when, like, fucking...
Because he was the high school guy.
Yeah, he was the high school guy, and somebody killed him there.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were keeping him in their fucking stupid prison. You know, because Vibe is the warden, which I do not know.
Dude,
no.
Fuck that prison. That's the one thing that really kind of bothers me about the Flash TV show, is, like, these people are supposed to be heroes, but they have a prison that is not sanctioned by anybody. They just grab these guys and throw them in a prison. I realize
and it's run by the shadiest of all fuckers,
right?
Harrison Wells.
But I realize, like, it's hard to say, well, we need to contain these people with powers. I get that. But at the same time, like, we still like due process. I like to believe that America still has due process and, like, these people would have to go to court and all that shit. Even if you have to, like, do weird containment systems, like, no one even knows where these people are.
Nope.
What about their families? I realize they're villains and shit, but still, you got a mom, even when you're a villain.
You got a mom, even when you're a villain.
Wait, so well, who else we have? The Trickster and...
Plunder. Plunder. Plunder's not even in this book. He's just here on this page.
Yeah, I don't even see him here.
He's not even here.
Anyway, so there's like, they're trying to fight. So the new rogues are fighting the Trickster inside Flash's body because they want Flash. Right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, they're the old rogues. He's...
Well, no. Right now, this is Flash and the new rogues.
Yeah.
So they're fighting the Trickster, not the Trickster, the Thinker inside...
Thinker, I'm sorry, yeah, Trickster.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Thinker inside of Flash's body.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird because Marvel is just literally just killing, like, the people...
He's
like,
ripping off people's tongues.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Murmur, maybe you shouldn't do that. And he's like, ha-ha, rip.
Shrip.
Ripping out the tongue.
Anyways.
I mean, you know, if you gotta have a gimmick, it's a good one to have.
So, Weather Wizard's like...
I'm Weather Wizard.
I'm gonna... Let's get this shit done. You know, he's...
Tornado inside of a building.
Tornado inside of a building. You know, blasting people with the...
This is what I hate about some of these books, is where he's like... When the villain has to say something before they do anything. He's like, there's a myth in the meteorologist world that the low pressure of a passing tornado can cause a building to explode. But what about when a tornado is ... inside the building? And I'm like, okay.
Like dude, you should just say it.
Fucking blow up the goddamn building and shut up.
Just do it.
Like, stop monologuing.
Get her done.
Stop monologuing.
So outside of the building, Captain Cold is teaming up with the cops.
Right. In
Central City.
Yes.
To figure out how to get...
the rest of the cops out of a mirror.
Rest of the cops out of a mirror, because somehow Mirror Master put these cops inside of a mirror. And it's actually kind of funny, because they go to the Flash Museum.
Yeah. And, like, for some reason, Captain Cold's like, I have to put out... Like, everything's on fire in this issue. And Captain Cold's like, I have to put out the Barry Allen statue because I'm sentimental. I'm like, okay.
Flaming statue. I look at how does statue just get on fire?
Right. That doesn't make any sense.
Why is a statue flammable?
Shouldn't be. If it's like bronze, it doesn't burn. I mean, unless you've like doused it with like some sort of flammable gel.
This, one second, it's made of fucking oily rags.
Yeah. This is our statue of the Flash. It's just a bunch of oily rags in sort of a Flash shape.
Here's what we do.
It never catches on fire.
It's a Flash costume, but we stuffed it full of oily rags.
And then we just drew a smiley face on one of them.
And we smiled, and that's what you guys get.
And this is Barry Allen,
this
guys.
Is all the city could afford.
We're bankrupt.
We have nothing but oily rags, all right?
Anyway. Please don't smoke near this.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, the sun won't burn it on fire.
Right?
Sunny day, nobody
that actually happened to one of my neighbors.
Yeah?
Yeah, he lit his garage on fire. He had a bunch of oily rags. Anyway.
Guys.
Yeah.
Wash your rags.
Yeah.
So they go in, it's funny because they're in the museum, and Captain Cold is just like, being all grumpy and stuff, and he's seeing like, you know, all this, actually,
Flash memorabilia.
Flash memorabilia. It's funny because he's like looking at this statue of him versus
Heatwave. That's funny.
The Heatwave, and he's like, hey, I'm taller than Heatwave. This is bullshit.
Yeah, Flash. It's pretty funny. So yeah. Then they like wander down to this mirror.
So they wander down to this mirror where Cyborg and the cops are in there, and I guess they're
trapped inside the mirror.
They're trapped inside the mirror, and you know, one of the cops is like, let's break it open, get them out.
I'm like, no, that'll kill them.
That'll kill them. Oh, look, I just noticed there's a little thing here where impulse items are in a box.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And it's Rod, but he's got Captain Boomerang's hat. Nah.
Funny.
What is our Captain Boomerang's stool?
I don't know. Does he need a stool?
Yeah.
Maybe it's an old thing. Like, this, okay, so here's what I don't understand. He tells the cop, don't bust it open because they're all going to die. And then Captain Cold goes, well, if I freeze the mirror, and well, then we can break it open?
No, he makes a mirror of a mirror.
Wait.
He makes a mirror, so he doesn't freeze the mirror, he makes a sheet of ice.
So they
that's a reflection of the mirror, because everything in here is backwards.
Oh, I get it.
So then he puts a reflection of the proper
And then reflection. He breaks it.
And he breaks
and
it.
And somehow that frees these guys.
Who, and for some reason, he frees Cyborg.
It doesn't make any sense. Oh, I don't know what's going on with Cyborg in this comic book, because he looks so weird.
He's gold or brown or something?
I think he's gold, but, like, he has... To me, it looks like he has most of his body parts, save the mask and maybe one of his arms. Like, he's got his whole chest.
Oh, no, this is the old Cyborg.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, Cyborg when he first originally... Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. So Cyborg when he originally...
Because I'm looking at this going, wait a second.
Yeah, it probably wasn't long after this before, because in the New 52, I mean, he's pretty much...
Well, not only that, but, like, just any of them, he's a little bit more...
Robotic, but no,
robotic.
I mean,
like, he's not very robotic here.
No, I mean, back in the 80s, I mean, he only had, you know, a part of... You know,
this is 2002.
I don't know.
Maybe Geoff Johns just wanted to use this Cyborg.
I don't know why he's brown.
The coloring in this book is weird.
The coloring is...
It's a weird... I think he's wearing a gold outfit, but I don't know.
Well,
the coloring is very strange in this book.
So anyway, so the new rogues are...
Yeah, back with the new rogues.
They somehow have beat Thinker for the moment, and they have...
They're like, we're going to kill Flash.
We're going to kill him.
Yay, you know, kill.
Let's
do it. And then, of course, they have to talk
like,
about
like,
how.
Like Trickster's like, give me a knife, Marmer, which I think is kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so it just kind
of... They're trying to figure out how to kill him, and each one of them wants to kill him in a different way. And, of course, their bickering allows somebody to come...
Well, Thinker gets back.
Oh, Thinker comes back, but then the Flash also disappears.
Because Goldface takes him.
Right.
Which
well,
I don't
know that.
I don't know how he got away with him.
I don't either.
I missed that.
Because the Thinker's like, oh, I'm going to get him. And then they're like, wait, he's gone. And so then we go back to Cyborg and his friends.
He's with the cops and he's all brown. He's in the sewer.
And he's talking to some old guy. And then they go back and forth. And then we get this long story.
Well, we get to basically the origin of...
this is all related to Goldface.
What ends up is that Goldface... ends up grabbing Wally.
Right.
And, you know, he's got him, you know, hidden somewhere.
In some sort of sewer hole.
Some sort of bunker. Who cans? I think it's got to be a bunker.
It's a box that says cans. So obviously it's a survival bunker.
I'm assuming obviously it's a survival bunker. He's got cans of beans or whatever.
It just says cans. You never know what
he's got a bunch of stuff.
It's a surprise. That's how you keep things fresh when you're living in a survival bunker.
Yeah, and for some reason,
take all the labels off your cans, you put them in a box labeled cans, and then whatever you pull out is a surprise.
That sounds like they're probably the most exciting thing to happen in a bunker.
Exactly, that's how you keep things fresh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just put cans that are good, and then you put them...
Because you're not going to have a cans that are bad box.
No, I mean, because you're not going to want to take the label off a can of gravy. You're just going to...
delicious gravy.
Can we have a pot of gravy for dinner, Apocalypse Dad?
just gravy. Like, why would you just have gravy? Obviously, you're gonna.
Well,
have,
you probably grab whatever cans you could take. I'm certain in the road.
If you were a prepper, you already have this shit. Like, there's none of this weight. Like, getting caught unaware, like the rest of us, you are stockpiling shit. For years.
Mm.
So, I mean, they are prepared. So you wouldn't just have a can of gravy. Now, if it were the road, we would just be eating jars of gravy. And probably,
humans.
Sugar cubes. And humans. But the road is terrible, and we should not talk about it.
Okay. This reminds me of the road.
no.
So Goldface apparently has got some issues. So apparently the compound that he used to be Goldface and, you know, use a suit of armor made him all gold.
Right, it was a type of gold that had somehow, the properties have been changed somehow that they didn't understand how, and like, but it made him super strong or something.
Well, it made him super strong, but it also permanently transmuted his body into a solid gold compound. So, like, you see, for some reason, like,
but he doesn't look gold.
Well, he's not, but like, for some reason, like, parts of his clothes and like stuff like that is like,
yeah, gold.
Yeah, he's just gold. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I actually have a question here. So Barry's suit.
Yes.
So he's not wearing it here, but then like it's kind of ripped.
Right.
And is it like? But is it like? Does he like? Can he summon it from like the world from like? Because he used to keep it in a ring.
Right. That's what I thought. I mean, unless he just changed really quickly and we didn't notice.
But he's only wearing, like, part of a suit.
But it was, like, fucked up.
But did he find a new suit? Now he's got a full suit.
Maybe he had an extra. I don't know.
Well, he can just keep it in the ring.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, sure. And then, so anyway, Goldface is like, oh, you know, I used to be married to,
Blacksmith.
And I begged, you know, we were married really quickly, we were divorced just as quickly, and, like, I begged her to stop doing what she was doing, which is basically,
she's a weapons broker.
Right, but she's, like, really good at it and making serious bank, and he's like, hey, don't make money anymore, and she's like, no, that's cute. And so then they leave.
But before she leaves, she takes some of his elixir that he used to be Goldface, and, like, it caused her to
become
blacksmith, where she can transmute inorganic and organic materials.
Right.
Like, basically fusing metal to flesh and whatever. Which I don't really know
how that works.
How that comes into handy, you know, as a villain.
Sounds painful.
Well, of course. But, I mean, you know, she's looking to do weird shit.
Well, the other part of this, like, her underground network is because, like, when the economy was, like, all fucked up, her little selling weapons and stuff, they called it, like, the network. It had, like, a name. And it was actually bringing money into Central City. Well, the other one, too.
Keystone City,
that's it. I was trying to remember which.
City is Arrow.
I know, I was trying to remember which one they mentioned. I don't, you know, I can't read all of it here.
It says.
Yeah, it says Keystone. I couldn't remember what it was.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't Star, because that was too short. And I was like, well, I don't think it's called Starling in the comic book. So, anyway. So, yeah, she was basically keeping the whole city afloat with her underground economy. But apparently all of this is her fault somehow. So, anyway, Flash is like, and then things explode, and the Thinker finds them again. Right?
Right. Although,
after the big info dump.
I'm a little bit distracted here by this ad for Gauntlet Dark Galaxy, or Gauntlet Dark Legacy.
Yeah.
Galaxy, what else? Which, you know, remember Gauntlet, you know, is the arcade game where, you know, wizard needs food and you slash and whatever through a bunch of, you know.
Just giving him some cans.
Mystery cans of things. And I guess it's, and the way that the game is pitched is like the game where you and your buddy, three buddies, all get to be heroes. Only thing is, one of you has to be the chick. Wah, wah, 2001. Yeah.
God forbid you'd have to be the chick,
guys. And then one of the kids is holding a picture of the, you know, who's pulling the picture of the knight, is telling the kid who's pulling the picture of a chick, nice rack, dude.
Yeah.
What a asshole way to pitch a game.
Right?
It's not cool.
No, it is not.
Jesus Christ, 2000. Get your act together.
It was 2000.
Anyways, so we move on and.
So Thinker shows up and Cyborg shows up.
Yeah, Thinker shows up. Cyborg shows up. He's still brown.
Now remember, everybody's going to the Flash bunker. This is where everybody finds the Flash, is in this random bunker with Goldface. And so everybody's getting their ass kicked, and then Thinker's like, haha, Cyborg, attack.
Yeah. Yeah, he tries to punch the Thinker.
Which obviously allows the Thinker to take over his circuitry. And then they try to take Flash again. But it wasn't the Thinker who tried to, like, put another electrode on Flash's head. It was Cyborg. Cyborg gave him an idea, which was to allow the Thinker to put more electrodes on his head, and now he's trying to outthink him.
Oh, I know my email.
You left your damn email on again.
Sorry, guys. Here, I will close it.
There you go.
That's better.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Chime.
Anyways, so...
looks like he pulls the thinker in.
Hey, look, he's not gold.
Yeah, maybe it's just the... I don't know why that...
But, like, just his pick...
But he's kind of gold here, but it's, like, fading. I'm sure there's a reason. I don't know.
Jeff Johns.
Right? Tell so, me. Anyway, Bear... No, this is Wally. Wally pulls the thinker into his brain because he's thinking so quickly, and now he's like, haha, welcome to my world. And that's
how welcome to my world, yeah.
That's how it ends.
Echo the Dolphin. Oh, remember Echo the Dolphin? Kids play as a dolphin. It's fun.
So that's The Flash.
Yes. That's The Flash from 2002, July 2002, Flash number 186, Volume 2. Cans. Written by Jeff Johns. Cans. Thought Crime. Cans.
Cans!
And gravy.
Mystery cans! Are you working on your Vin Diesel voice there?
Family!
Is this coffee cup family?
I go to Olive Garden of Family. He should be doing commercials for Olive Garden.
This is
when you hear your family. When you hear your family.
It's like a combination of my Batman voice plus Vin Diesel.
They need to have...
Everything's family.
They should have, like... We need to get androids created because what I would like is for Vin Diesel androids to give you coronas when you go to...
family events?
No. Oh. To, Olive Garden. Because like, you hear your family and hand you Corona.
Why doesn't Vin Diesel as Dominic Toretto do a commercial for Olive Garden?
I don't know. It's not like Olive Garden's like a new operation.
You know what we should have done?
And, I mean, he is, I think, Italian? Or what is Vin Diesel's nationality?
He's like half Italian, half black. I think that is what is correct. But I know he's like... believe he's half Italian.
Okay. Well,
people.
Yeah.
You know what we should have done when we went to see Fast Furious 7, whatever the fuck name that movie's called? Furious 7. We should have snuck in booze. And every single time he said family, we should have taken a drink. And then we would have been trashed within like the first 15 minutes of the movie.
I think I could.
And then I wouldn't be like, "Where did Paul Walker die?"
Because
that's what I spent the whole movie doing. I was trying to figure out where. Was fake Paul Walker.
Fake Paul Walker.
Like, what part
just did another, just die? Another, I do actually want to comment on the experience.
Of Fast and Furious.
Of us 7. Going to the movies yesterday. We're recording this, by the way.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, this is perfectly fine. That it was funny because we had pre-assigned seats.
Yes.
And then you go to this woman that's already sitting
in my seat.
And you're like, excuse me. This is my seat. And she's like,
I said, excuse me, I think you're in my seat.
Right.
I think we're in our seat.
And then she just produces random papers.
Could you show me where... She's like, I don't know. Can you show me where the tickets are? And I showed her on mine. And I was like, ma'am, these aren't your tickets. Because they weren't. They were just her receipt that showed she paid. But it didn't say, like, a seat number on it.
And then she just moved over to the next seat.
I was like, yeah, get the fuck out of my seat. I don't work here. I don't care.
I was going to get the usher.
Yeah, I'm like, look, I don't actually care if you snuck into this movie or not. All I care about is that you get your ass out of my seat so I can sit in it. Because I bought them on Wednesday. Okay? It is Saturday when we go see this movie. No, I bought them on Thursday. Saturday. Get the fuck out of my seat.
Vin Diesel shows up like, she's family.
She's got to sit in that seat.
She's in there.
Family.
Family. And then The Rock just kicks open and... Sweatily does paperwork behind us or whatever.
No, I don't know what was going on.
Is that a spoiler to say that the opening of the movie is The Rock sweatily doing paperwork?
No, but it's probably the best part of the movie. He's sweating while doing paperwork.
I don't think that he doesn't sweat when he works out, but when he does paperwork, he's like,
It's really
like when he does his taxes. When Dwayne Johnson does his taxes, it's just...
Dwayne Johnson spends 8 hours a day in the gym, doesn't break a sweat. He sits down to do taxes, sweat.
And then he has to bench. And actually, I liked it too, because it's like, just to prove that he is the Rock, they also had like protein shake like sitting right there. Like, he's the Rock. He is lifting constantly, guys. Don't ever think that he's never not lifting. Even when he gets up, even when he's in the bed, he's like, like, he's great.
Well, that's right. Because he's the Grippy.
Grippy, which, I mean, that's like something like, I know that, like, a lot of guys who train, like, John Cena was talking about that.
What, using that hand thing?
Where he says, I got out of surgery, and I was like, give me a stress ball, give me something, I need to do something.
Well, that was on his arm. But the Rock was using it on the arm that wasn't hurt.
Right. No, I'm talking about just anything. Like, when you got out of surgery, because he had neck surgery, and he was like, give me something, I need to squish.
Maybe it's like the same thing, because when I had my surgery, they said the best thing for me to do was to get up and walk.
Right.
It's the same basic principle.
Well, same thing, but something like him, like, literally, like, he just wakes up and he's like, give me something.
Squishy squish.
So that's what happened with, that's what happens when Dwayne Johnson did when they, because he broke his leg and his arm. Somehow he did not break his spine.
I know, but we can't give too much away. This is just the very beginning of the movie. The one thing I will say before we stop talking about Furious 7 is that I don't understand why The Rock would go work out so profusely that he's, like, literally just sweating buckets. Like, he's sweating, and he has a towel that he's actually dabbing his face with. And then instead of taking a shower and then going to do his paperwork, he was just like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to stop doing what I'm doing right now, and I'm going to go do paperwork and sweat at my desk.
Two things about that.
So gross.
First of all, The Rock is not doing paperwork.
I know The Rock is not. He's stamping.
He's literally stamping pictures saying captured with a fucking stamp that says captured. Like he's fucking, I don't know. I just like that. But also, you know, I would like to think that he was just doing that real quick because he forgot to do it. And then he went back to working out. Which is why he didn't bother taking a shower, because he's like, I'm just going to do this for like 5 minutes. I'm just going to go and stamp captured on a bunch of these things.
But it was already after hours. It's not like he's going to...
No, he's constantly working out.
I'm talking about work. It's not like they're due anywhere. The paper's not due.
No, that's how The Rock operates. When there's some people...
He's scatterbrained. He's like, oh, fuck, I got to go do my paperwork.
Nobody questions Agent Hobbs. because he fucking steals... an ambulance and drives it off of
a... No, we can't spoil the movie. We're giving away too many things.
Oh, yeah, I think I hope I didn't spoil that. Guys, insane shit happens in this movie. I hope that's not a spoiler.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Guys, there's cars in this movie, and they drive really fast.
And they're furious.
There's also a lot of fast and furiousness in this movie.
And you'll have a lot of questions.
And Vin Diesel talks about his family a lot.
There are points in that movie where... last thing where it's like, there's points where it's like you're watching it and you're just like, he's gonna say family. I just know it.
And
then he does it. You're like, yes!
I'm telling you, that's why we should have taken booze in there.
We just knew that the word family was coming up.
He had to have said it at least 18 times. At least!
You know what's amazing is that there was that movie, The Family, starring Ted Arcidi. And Robert De Niro.
It was a starring Ted Arcidi.
Well, in my mind, it was Ted Arcidi.
Why was Vin Diesel not in that movie?
Why was he not in that movie? It's literally written for him. Why was that not like? Family. Why was that not like a side shoot of Fast and Furious about the family and about things they do, like when they go to Costco and shit? You know, and he's just been like, "This is family size. Let's go in my basket." excuse me.
Oh my god, you watch a movie where Vin Diesel just shops and puts everything that has the word family on it into his
cart. He goes to like one of those like people like selling like, you know, like blocks of cheese, and they're like, you have a family size.
But it has to, like that bag of Ruffles that says like family size on it.
He walks up to it and he just goes, he picks it and goes, family. And he throws it.
I can't leave you here.
We don't leave family behind. All the chips go. Just boxes, just crates of like rough bags, giant bags of Ruffles.
If Vin Diesel was on SNL and they do not do a skit where he's not leaving family behind, which is him just grabbing, like, family-sized bags of chips, somebody needs to be fired because that's just so funny.
He just buys all the copies of The Family. It's like the highest-selling DVD ever because Vin Diesel literally bought every copy that nobody wanted. He's like, nobody leaves family. It's like, Vin, you gotta stop doing this. You're blowing your fortune on things that say family.
Tries to join Focus on the Family, and then he's like, this isn't what I thought it would be.
This is about family.
That's pretty funny.
Anyways. Well, that was good. This is... Speaking of family.
Yeah, I'm really glad we talked about that on a comic book podcast.
Speaking of family, let's talk about Omega the Unknown.
All right, you got to explain some of this Omega shit, man.
From a year.
Yeah, when was
that
published?
Hang on. So why don't you kind of explain your confusion and I will... All
right, so I have never actually, again, not a Marvel girl, I've never heard of Omega before this. He's kind of an unknown, again, Omega the Unknown, huge surprise, right? That he's unknown, so I'm not familiar with him. But...
As is nobody. He's literally unknown.
So, like, what I didn't understand is there's this, like, little... Here, I'm going to read it. At the very, very top of the issue...
What issue is that? Number four. Okay.
Number four. So at the very top of the issue, before we start, it says, Omega the First, the lone survivor of an alien world, a nameless man of somber, impassive, vicious, garbled, utterly inappropriately in a garish blue and red. Enigma the Second. James Michael Starling, age 12, raised in near isolation by parents who, he discovered on the day they, quote, died, were robots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Enigma the Third, the link between the man and the boy, penetrating the depths of the mind and the body, causing each to question his very reality of self. So, what I don't understand is...
Any of it.
Yeah, like, what? There are three... So, like, there's this... I see the blue and the red guy, and I saw the kid, but, like, are they connected by...
Well, yes, I will explain
Please
this.
Please explain, I don't understand.
I'm going to
and
explain...
That kid sucks balls, by the
way.
Oh,
he sucks... He sucks major ass later on.
Right.
And he dies.
Yay!
And so...
I'm so happy that child died. So
this is Omega the Unknown, Volume 1, Number 4, from September 1976. The title of the story is Cats and No Dogs. Because on the cover it says, Knight of a Thousand Claws... And on the cover, Omega the Unknown, who looks like a... What celebrity does he look like here?
Look like Vin Diesel.
Okay. I'm trying to figure, like, he's got, like...
I don't know. He doesn't really look like a celebrity.
He just looks like your 70s guy with black hair, and he's got, like, this stupid, weird costume with a bunch of Omega symbols there kind of forced onto it.
Yeah.
Like, he's got, like, his shirt is kind of, like, a dip, and it's the Omega.
Yeah, it's because he's got, like, a crown.
And he's fighting...
He's wearing a tiara, guys.
He's fighting...
It's jaunty.
He's fighting, Elgato. And Knight of a Thousand Claws, because he is being attacked by...
Cats.
Many cats.
Ooh, Scoogits.
So, anyways, as cat fans...
We are cat fans.
We are talking it up here. Anyways, so...
He's got some nice cleavage. Look at that.
Oh, he's got great cans.
Yeah, nice.
Anyways, so basically... Okay, here, I'll explain...
Please explain.
I'll explain this real quick. So basically, Omega the Unknown, this guy
yes.
is Omega.
Right, the
he
guy with the cape.
He is a sentient being created by an alien race
mm-hmm.
that was created because the race that... This race that created him was unable to evolve their species. So what they did was they created a bunch of sentient beings and they sent them to all the far reaches of the universe to learn and evolve and report back to them, you know, to this race on how to they could survive.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this guy... Omega, or he's like Model X something or whatever.
Right, so he's been sent to Earth.
No, he hasn't. He was originally on this other planet, and this planet loved him so much, basically, they were like, Omega, you the shit. We're gonna
family?
Teach- family. We're going to teach you how to tap into the biosphere of all the life energy on this planet, and that's because you're the greatest, and you're going to be like the sweetest dude here. And however, this was being information was being relayed to his the people that created him, and they were like, "Whoa, he's not going to be able to handle that. We need to step in."
So they tapped out.
What?
They tapped out.
Tapped who out?
Him. They tapped him out of this planet.
No, what they did was before they got there, he ended up tapping into Omega, or this guy, Omega, tapped into the world of, to the bioenergies and basically wiped out this world.
Right.
And so the creators of his creators came and tried to keep him.
Oh, so he escaped.
He escapes to Earth because he went to Earth because the boy is actually also a one of the models as well, serving as a boy. And he has the mind connection with this boy, and he's going to teach him how to tap into the energies and stuff.
Okay.
So it ends up being like, this is a weird.
So what about the other person that they're talking about?
What guy? What person?
So Omega the first. Omega the second's the boy.
Yeah.
Omega the third
Enigma.
I'm sorry.
It's just the way they're writing. It's just the way they're writing it.
So Enigma the third is the link. So that's the three.
They're trying to figure out.
That's the three things that we're working with. We're working with Omega. We're working with this stupid kid, and we're working with the link between them.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were looking at three different characters. I'm like, what the fuck?
No, there's no third character. It's okay. Just it's because as you can see in the cover here, there's the boy. And then there's Omega's face up in there.
Uh-huh.
And this is just a...
When is this from? Did you look that up?
I did. It was 1976.
No, okay, 1976.
1976. September 1976. All right. So, this is a weird... And this overall... So basically, you're just kind of following, like, this kid... And throughout the series starts, he's this kid who's on Earth and he doesn't know that he's this thing.
Right. He doesn't know that he's one of these.
He doesn't know he's one of these creations, and his parents are actually androids.
The robots.
Are robots who die.
Right.
In a car crash.
Right.
And they tell him, because they're going to take him to like some school to like learn or something. And he's like, because he's very like this cold, he was homeschooled. So that's why he talks like a weirdo.
Yep.
When you'll notice he's like he's very analytical.
Yes.
And
I thought he was a robot at first, but it was not real.
Well, he kind of is.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I thought like, and then I was like, wait a second, what's wrong with this kid? And I was like, maybe he's an alien. And then I was like, fuck, I don't care, I don't like him.
No, he's not very likable, and he ends up being proven why he's unlikable.
Because he's a sausage.
Because he ends up being a sausage, and it's like it's. And it's but I'll just go through this issue and explain later.
We start with Omega staring out at a bridge.
This is all New York.
You're right. We're in New York. He's looking at the bridge between Manhattan and Queens, and he's thinking.
Having a think.
And he's like, oh. And as he's thinking, he sees this woman jump off the side of the bridge. And he goes to save her.
He saves her.
And as he's thinking about like why his people evolved past emotions, or maybe they didn't, and they're not sure.
And he doesn't speak, so he's not speaking to
himself. Right, this is just all boxes of him thinking.
This is all 70s, pontification.
Yeah. And so he does speak. He says one thing. He says, why? And she doesn't answer.
Why?
And then we cut to stupid kid and his two new guardians, I guess.
Well, his new guardians. Chicks. Okay, so yeah. So what happens? So I'll explain this part too. So he ends up after this accident. The kid goes to this hospital,
mm-hmm.
and there's this doctor there. And the doctor's like, "I don't understand why you are what you are. Like, you didn't get hurt in this crash. You're very weird.
Yeah.
And I want to study you. And I want to. He's like, I want to study you. He's like, he's the guy. He's the institute. And he's like, I want to study you. And whoever it is, like the people are like. Hey,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I know what I've learned about comic books is if you are a child and your parents end up dying, you will either A, become some sort of superhero, or B, be taken in by a weirdo and, like, studied or molded into a vigilante.
Right.
Okay, just checking.
So it was, well, in this case, he is taken in, where he's in this hospital with this weirdo doctor. He's like, I want to study you. Yeah. You know, and understand what's going on in your brain. You're so weird. And, you know, in the, but the, he doesn't have enough money to do it, apparently. Apparently, his trustees were like, keeping this kid here. We got all this other shit to gotta
do. Yeah, they're like, dude, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you taking in random kids.
Well, he's like, let me see. He's a patient, but he's like, you know, it makes sense. No, I mean,
but it's weird to just be like, I'm going to keep this kid around.
Right, you know, but the doctors are like, no, you get him out of here. Right. Or the board's like, get him out of here. So he's like, well, and so the nurse, So the nurse was like,
you can come stay with me.
Come stay with me. And they got him enough money for him to stay with this nurse. And his her roommate, who's a photographer for the Daily Planet.
Okay.
You know, like Peter Parker shows up here somewhere at some point.
You mean the Daily Bugle?
Daily Bugle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they drop him off at school.
They drop him off at school, and he's got this friend, Diane. He's got this kid, Nedley, that's his buddy. No, but he's not real, but they think he's all weird anyways.
Because he is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, I like factual reading matter. When, like, this girl's like, here, why don't you try reading this novel? He's like, I like factual reading matter. And you're like, oh, shut up. Just fucking read the book. So anyway.
Here's the thing, this is weird, is not long after these women take him on as, I guess, his legal guardians.
Sure.
They just throw him in school. Because, and literally the reason why I don't know if it's in this issue, but it's in another one where they're like, we did it just because, like, I guess it was the legal thing to do.
Well, it depends. If he's a certain age, he might legally have to attend school.
Right, but they just, I don't know, I just found it very strange that they're just like, well, I guess you're his legal guardian. I guess you could just come to the school?
Well, that's, no, because, like, he now lives with these nurses. So this is the school he has to attend since he's no longer being homeschooled.
Yeah.
You have to legally attend school up until a certain age, so he's going to school now.
Yeah.
I don't know what age it is. It's a certain age.
Well, they're kids. And so anyway, so they're trying to get into, you know, they're at school and the bullies are like, they have these bullies here that are like, you have to pay to get in school. And
he's like, I know there's not a toll to enter this place.
Yeah.
It's just like, shut up, kid. Like, well, he's right, there is not a toll, and these bullies are fucks. But at the same time, he's unlikable.
Yeah.
That you're just like, yeah, I kind of wish you'd get your ass kicked.
There's this girl that's like a tomboy, and they're just like, fuck him. You know, she's like, whatever, I'll kick your ass.
Right.
And so they, actually, he's living in Hell's Kitchen, by the way, which is funny.
Yeah, that's probably why, because they said his school's a little rough.
Oh, it's rough as shit. Well, you'll find out. As we find out. So, anyways, Omega, we go back to Omega. Omega's staying with this old pawnbroker named Gramps. And he calls Omega Sam. Uh-huh. And he just basically just talks to
Omega.
Omega just like rambles to him.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, so they go back because they have this girl.
Yeah, he took that woman that jumped off the bridge. He took her to his place.
Took her to his place, didn't take her to, well, because I mean, you know. It's the 70s. It's rough. It's New York.
But like, did they let her go? Like, go home, or did she pass out? Or
already out of it because she hit the water. I mean, she fell down the water.
So maybe she just passed out. And he's like, I'm not going to just leave this woman laying on a dock somewhere. I'll bring her to my place. And like, she freaks out because she sees a cat.
She freaks out because she sees a cat.
And his cat's name is, what did he say?
Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony the cat.
Mark Anthony. That's right. Mark Anthony the cat.
Mark Anthony the cat.
The singer. Mark Antony. Antony. Antony.
Antony.
Mark Antony.
Well, yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cleopatra, Mark Antony.
So maybe there's a cat named Cleopatra out there?
Probably, but he named him Mark Antony.
I like when you give cats two names.
I know, you know, why don't our cats have two names?
You can give them. Yeah, I mean, technically Tully can be
Tully. Tully has like a bajillion names at this point.
You can be Tully Blanchard.
No. Not Tully Blanchard the cat, even though that's who he's named after. Very handsome. Anyway, so
cats are funny people that way. They find people. People don't find them.
That's actually true.
Yeah.
I agree with that. So he's just rambling on, and there's this woman, and then they bring the woman, or she has to go back to like where she stays.
Yeah, because she's like, Okay, so...
She's like Elgato's girl.
No, what happened was Elgato is like the town, the area medicine man.
Yeah, sure.
I guess wherever they live.
Hell's Kitchen.
In Hell's Kitchen or somewhere in New York. And her mother died. Uh-huh. This girl's mother died. And she... But, you know, Elgato, who looks like Anton LaVey, but with cat things,
is... Yeah, he really does look like Anton LaVey.
is... he's basically like... He's like, hey, your mom died, but you gotta pay her bills. Because I don't come cheap.
Right. Okay.
And she's like... She needed, like, surgery, and you just gave her, like...
A spoonful of honey or something.
You gave her some sort of new age shit, and she died.
Yep.
So, she's like, I ain't paying you. And so he starts, like, terrorizing her.
Oh, that's right. She says that she's cursed.
She's cursed.
He says that all... She says all the things
she
that
has she... scary cat dreams.
...touches dies.
Right. So her fish die. Her fiancé dies.
Some roof falls on somebody.
The roof falls and kills somebody. Yeah. And for some reason, she gets evicted. I don't understand that. Like, her roof falls.
Well, maybe because it was, like... She probably got evicted because they can't fix it, so now she doesn't have anywhere to go.
I guess.
I don't know.
What do you mean? Well, okay.
Sure.
Well,
that makes sense. This is
New York. It's the 70s. It's a hard time.
It is a hard time.
I will say that probably a million times. Anyways, so she's like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. This is awful. So we go back to school.
Yeah.
And the... So the bullies are sitting, they're all sitting in science class.
Yep.
And the teacher's like,
He's gonna make something. Some sort of chemical reaction. But the bullies like swap the things.
Yeah. They swap like something or whatever. And then
robot stupid kid is like, oh no, don't do that. And.
But it's funny. So the kid's like, hey, teacher, don't do that. And the teacher's like, what the fuck do you know?
Yeah.
Literally, he's like,
he just really starts yelling at this kid. He's like, what?
Excuse me, you didn't raise your hand, and I'm a science teacher
in a public school.
I know everything, you know nothing.
Right, and he's like, I have done this so many times, I can do this in my sleep, even though the bully just switched the shit.
And the teacher's like, I have a Hitler mustache.
Right.
So you are... Unable to tell
like,
me anything.
Listen to me, I have a Hitler mustache, which is probably, like, the worst argument for listening to this guy, but whatever. And, like, so he does the reaction, it, of course, explodes.
It gets all weird, and Nedley...
His stubby friend...
Grabs the bubbling goo...
Throws out the window.
Throws out the window, and it explodes like a friggin' Fast and Furious...
Chooms.
And the teacher's, like, mad. He's still mad. He's like, hey, you saved lives. It's like... How dare you do that?
Right.
We're going to the principal's office, and the principal's like,
whatever.
The principal actually kind of goes on his side. He's like, what are you? He's like, yeah, it was your fault.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, whatever. And, you know, it's just dumb. It's really uncomfortable.
And so then, like, they leave, and then his stubby friend goes into the bathroom where all the bullies are, and he's alone.
He's alone, and for some reason he doesn't run, so he ends up getting beaten senseless.
With, like, sticks and stuff.
No, he's literally, so these kids...
That kid has a pipe!
He has a pipe, and there's a chain.
It's a rough school, guys.
And there's a brass knox.
It's a really rough school. This is New York in the 70s, I guess, was... Really
is
tough.
That if you chain, like, first of all, he didn't, because he didn't tell, I don't think he tells who did it.
I don't
but
think
they
he
think
does.
He did.
Yeah.
So they think, so the bullies think that this kid, Nedley, stitched Nick Narked on him.
He didn't.
But he did not.
He did not,
and they decide to beat him senseless anyways with chains and pipes and whatever. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
40 years later, no one who would beat people senseless to change of pipes can live there. New York.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And actually, I'm going to tell you his fate later on.
Oh, boy, I hope so.
It doesn't end
well. You know, of course, no one in this book ends well. By the way, this Omega guy is wearing thigh-high boots.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Boots got higher, I think.
Yeah, I think they get less. It depends on what panel you're looking at. Sometimes they're really high, sometimes they're not.
So anyway, so he goes, you know, this girl run.
Yeah, we're back with Omega.
I'm back with Omega, and this girl
goes back to Elgato.
Goes Elgato, and she tries to get away, or she gets away, and she's like, I have to go with Elgato.
And he's like, no.
And Omega's like, no. What up, bro? And him and Elgato start fighting.
Yeah. And Omega doesn't talk.
Omega doesn't talk.
At all?
But apparently, no, he doesn't talk.
He said why.
He said why, but he's got like a, like something, apparently the planet that he was on that he killed had like, you know, he became a warrior, and the warrior had like a code of silence.
Dumb.
So.
Dumb.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well, there's a lot of.
So anyway, like, he starts fighting with Elgato, and he's like, wait, I can't see his weaknesses. I'm not sure why I can't. Like, this is him thinking. Well, I can't determine what Elgato's weaknesses are or whatever. He gets a couple good things in, and then Elgato calls the cats.
And
like all the alley cats in New York, and they just jump on Omega.
Well, here's the thing that's funny. So he throws a garbage can at him.
Yeah.
And
Omega throws a garbage can at Elgato.
At Elgato. And Elgato is really upset by this.
Yeah, he's like, how dare you
shower me with ashes and orange peels and stale bread.
Yeah, he's really pissed.
And he is, like, flaming over this. Mm-hmm. So Elgato summons
the cats.
A literal rain of cats.
Yeah, and they literally just fall from the sky. Like, jump off of fire escape.
Not merely pelting him with their weight of their falling bodies, but biting, tearing at his flesh, digging through the fabric of his costume, tenaciously clinging in his thrashing form.
And I would, like, it's ridiculous to see that there's this guy being taken down by cats. However, I will say cats are deceptively strong.
Well, ours is. Yep. One of ours is.
But that, not only that, but shit, they hurt when they bite and claw. That shit hurts. You got like 50 of them on you. That's hurt. That
I
hurts.
Just love the way that these cats are all drawn. They're all like, they look really you're like angry. Just one down here. It's like, ah! And so thankfully, Gramps is like, you know.
I'll pour water on them.
I'll shoot.
Because cats hate water.
Let me open up this.
But not all cats are.
Whatever.
It's a fire hydrant.
Fire hydrant. And he sprays him.
I know. And then he yells at. After all the cats get off, he yells at Omega and he says, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. They're plenty long enough.
Get your ass up, you hunk of a man.
Yeah.
And go after and get Elgato. But the lady.
And Elgato hasn't run, by the way. He's just standing there. He's just like watching this whole thing go down. He's like, whatever. And he's got a car, and the lady's in the car, and he hasn't even bothered to shut the car door. He's just like, And he's like, what?
He's like, she's coming with me. And they're like, oh, well, like, Omega actually puts his head into the.
Well, because he says, why don't you ask her? And so he puts his head in, and she goes, no, I'm going to go with him. That's cool. It's fine. Obviously, she's been hypnotized or whatever. But she's like, I'm going to go with him. And like, this whole time, he just doesn't bother leaving. Like, you'd think if you summon a rain of cats on someone, that's when you get in the car and drive away.
Because the cats are doing shit.
Not
he's
just,
he's
Elgato.
Just, Elgato's like, not I watched. Elgato. I watch.
I sit.
I don't know if you. I don't know if you. I know it's weird, but I watch. I like to watch.
I like to watch. It's cool.
I like
it's
to
like,
watch.
You know,
feels good.
It's my thing, guys. I just like to watch stuff.
I like to watch when cats when after getting hit with trash.
That's his fetish.
I have to watch a man get attacked by cats.
It's his how fetish. It is.
This is how it is, guys. I can't live any other way.
It's the only way. You can find any pleasure in this world.
And so it's funny because after he gets away, Elgato gets away, all the people that are sitting here, all the smiling kids have been watching this man being murdered by cats and, you know, saved by an old man and a fire hydrant are like, hey, you're that same hero. Oh, well, yeah, you blew it.
Yeah, dude, what the fuck?
Because Omega at this point is also... stopped Electro. Mm. He's fought the Hulk at this point.
Right.
But Elgato got the best of him.
With cats. With a shower of cats. The Hulk can't stop this guy, but a shower of cats can. About 50 really skinny alley cats can take this fucker down.
And that's it.
That's it. I hope that we see that in the Avengers.
I hope so too. I hope there's a lot
of cats.
There's
just some guy in the alley being taken down by cats.
So.
That's it.
Yeah, that's basically it. And that's it for Omega, mm-hmm. The Unknown, number 4 from 1976.
Yep.
Just an addendum here in the next issue.
Does that kid die?
No.
Oh. Nedley, no, I mean his friend dies.
No. Oh. So Nedley, the kid that gets the shippy album. With chains and pipes and black knuckles. Stumbles into, like, the lunchroom. Like, which means he walked through the halls of school.
Right.
And, like, fell down and, like, basically went into shock. And almost dies right there, right?
Uh-huh.
So, what happens is he's in a hospital, and he has to get, you know, he's trying to get better, but he's just got the, like, he nearly dies. And, in the school, the kids nearly murder him.
Yes.
And he's hurt. And so he finally gets better.
Mm-hmm.
He's better, and they're like, well, you know, he's mending. You know, he can go back to school.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And I think the bullies, one of them was beat up by Omega.
Okay.
And we don't see it. Somebody beat it up, or maybe Creaky Preview Boy did something with his secret powers. Because, you know, in other issues, James Michael, the boy, shoots these bio beams out of his hands, like Omega can. Because Omega knows how to do that by tapping into the biosphere of people, and he's sort of shared that with this kid, which is why they're worried about it, because he can basically, you know, the kid can do it, and then everybody's just going to be die, because they're going to tap all the power of humans.
Uh-huh.
So, anyways, so the kid, you know, Nedley comes back to school. We don't see any of this. We find this out at his funeral.
So he does die.
He dies, not James Michael, but the kid.
Yay.
The kid that gets beat with the chains. Because what happens is, he comes back to school, he's patched together, whatever.
Right.
And he goes to pick up a pencil, and somebody kicks him in the ass. And he falls to the ground. And as it's described, something came loose or something opened up.
Oh.
And he died.
Ew. It's disgusting. What the fuck's wrong with that school? I was going to ask another question about Omega. Does he know he's connected to this kid?
Yes.
Does the kid know he's connected to Omega?
Well, by the... They run into each other. And he can kind of have visions about it.
Well, so it's... Omega knows... He knows it's this specific kid. He's not...
Omega knows who the kid is. The kid doesn't know really so much about Omega.
Okay, that explains.
But Omega knows... Because Omega... That's the reason why Omega came to Earth. Is because he escaped from this planet.
He was trying to find this kid.
Yeah.
All right. This is weird.
And there's a lot more weird shit that comes on. Basically, in order to save the Earth, here's the thing. Omega dies.
It's a comic book. Of course he dies.
He dies because he
gets besieged by cats.
Well, here's what happens. So.
All those cat bites get infected and he dies because cat bites are terrible.
Right. No, this is so weird. Okay, so this is such a... this is so weird to describe. He goes to Vegas with Gramps. And he finds out that he can mentally rig jackpot machines. And uses psionic abilities. Because he also has psionic abilities.
He went to Vegas?
He goes to Vegas.
Atlantic City.
No, they go to Vegas.
Okay.
He goes to Vegas... He fights some demon in the desert. I don't know why. And he ends up going to Vegas with Gramps.
Uh-huh.
And they make a bunch of money from all, like, the gambling. And he's trying to get all this money because he wants to get this kid out of Hell's Kitchen so he survives and he can use his powers to... I don't know, destroy the world or be the most extreme being or whatever, supreme being. Anyway, so Omega goes to Vegas and he ends up running afoul of this demon in the desert. And then but the demon's actually like a henchman for like this woman named Ruby Tuesday, who I'm going to show you. Ruby Tuesday.
And then after this, she goes and she starts a chain of successful restaurants.
This is Ruby Tuesday.
Casual. What the fuck?
That's her actual head.
No, it's not.
No, it's her actual head.
No, it's not.
And it's not explained why. She's an Avengers villain whose head is replaced by a some sort of, like, synthetic
red. But that's how red. She looks all the time. She can yes. take that off?
She can, no, she can mold it into, like...
Regular face?
Into regular face. Because that's what happens is she mold... She tries
She's Deadmau5.
Yeah. She tries to steal... Omega's money, or she steals Omega's money
to open up that chain of casual eateries.
Right, you know, which, I, by the way, I like Ruby Tuesdays. I haven't been to one in a long time.
Is there one around here?
I don't think so. They have good salad bar.
They do have good salad bar.
Well, speaking of which, I like to go to Sizzler sometime.
Oh, fuck, here we go. Sizzler?
Anyways. So she opens a chain of Sizzlers. So she steals the money from Omega, but she's running away. Because she molds her red head into a woman face.
Oh, God.
And Omega grabs her and, like, starts attacking her. And this is on the street in Vegas. The police show up and shoot Omega. But they just shoot him.
Okay.
And mind you, he's able to stop cars, fight the Hulk, you know, I mean, survive attack from cats. And... Are you looking up where Ruby Tuesdays is?
Uh-huh.
And he is... But he gets shot by a bunch of bullets.
And he dies.
And he dies.
That's stupid.
He's dead.
I'm assuming he comes back to life.
No.
What?
No, because the kid, you know, goes crazy. There's a whole chain of events. Basically, the kid learns how to do this bio thing.
Uh-huh.
But he really, you know, and he's, you know... And Moondragon, this is in the Defenders book, where Moondragon shows up and is like, hey, you know, we have to keep this kid alive because he's the only survivor of this race or whatever. And the kid ends up frying himself, and Moondragon's like, you guys all suck. Don't ever talk to me again. And she leaves away and she buries him in space.
It's a great story, babe.
And,
there's more to the story?
No, that was it.
Okay. It was a good story.
Oh.
So, there is a Ruby Tuesdays, except it's 241 miles away in North Las Vegas.
Oh, well, if we go to Vegas again, we'll go.
Yeah, okay. But there's all those other options when we go to Vegas.
Oh, like the Rio Buffet.
Yeah, like actual, like, buffets. We don't have to go out of our way to go to
Vegas. I heard they have a salad bar as well.
I've heard there are many salad bars in Las Vegas.
Excuse me, I'm in Vegas. Can you point me to a salad bar?
The Ruby Tuesdays is the only place we can find a salad bar.
Just go to a Sizzler's in Vegas.
That's the sound I make when I think about Sizzler.
Anyway.
If you're gonna eat there, then you're gonna go, why did you let me eat there? And I'm gonna you not to eat there.
I enjoy their hot bar.
Yeah, I know. And then you're gonna eat there and you're gonna be like, oh, why? And I'll be like, I told you that this was a bad idea.
We haven't done it in a while though.
This is the same thing that happens whenever we go to a Chinese buffet.
Yes. Anyways, that's it for the show.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
As always, you can, if you are, I probably should do this because this is a podcast. If you like the show, please subscribe to Comics on Comics.
Yeah.
Rate, review.
Yeah.
On iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And tell a friend. And we release every Tuesday. And you can follow me on Twitter at AngryHeroSean, SHAWN. And my Tumblr is... theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jen Stansfield. And I'm on WordPress at jenstansfield.wordpress.com and Tumblr at jenstansfield.tumblr.com.
I guess that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks, thanks for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
Bye.